Hey, my name is Keith, and I want to thank you for being here today on Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, April 16th, whatever this day is to you. Thank you for being here. I mean that. Thank you for coming out. Thank you for dressing up. I'm glad that I semi-dressed up. That way, some of you still look better than me, and I don't think that's right. Like, I guess a pastor should look good, but this is the fanciest I'll get. It happens once a year. I put on nice shoes, and I tucked in my shirt. That's me getting fancy. But I want to thank you for being here. And hey, if it's your first time, if you've just visited or you're just checking us out, there's a connect card in the chair in front of you. You can fill that out at any point and drop it in one of the boxes in the back. We're not going to have any ushers come by and collect that. And you'll notice too, we didn't even take an offering here. We have boxes in the back because we just want you to find a box. So if you want to drop a card in there, if you want to give today, there's boxes on the wall. But it's not about us getting anything from you today. Today, I want you to know about Jesus Christ. I do. I want you to know about who he is. I want you to know that there's an opportunity for you today. I want you to know that this matters, what we celebrate. Why all the fuss about this Easter Sunday? Why is it so respected? Even in the secular community, right? In the non-church Christian religious world, there's something about Easter that causes us to pause and reflect and think and say, what's up with this day? And I want you to know this. I have one word that I really want to drive home, and I'm probably going to say it like 50 times over the next 30 minutes. It's the word opportunity. Because I believe that opportunity is powerful. I believe that. And maybe you would agree with that. Maybe you would say, you know, yeah, opportunity is powerful. Opportunity matters. Think about if life had no opportunity in it. That wouldn't be fun, right? Come on, if there was no opportunity for you in your life, if you were just going through life and just, hey, what I'm doing now is what I've always done and what's what I'm always going to do, and there's just no opportunity, no one would want to live that life. Right? We all need opportunity, right? We all need to know that there's something for us. Opportunity is powerful in that way. And you experience opportunities every day. Right now, there's an opportunity for you. It's an opportunity to sweat. There's an opportunity to get water. I'm just going to keep plugging that. That way, you know, there's an opportunity for you to discover who Jesus is. And the whole reason why I want to bring up opportunity is because while opportunity is very powerful, there is something just as powerful that gets attached to opportunity way too often. And it's this other word, regret. Regret. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I want you to do some inventory right now. Any of you here, you carry regrets? I think if we were completely honest, we'd probably all say, yeah. How can you not, right? How can we not? That's not a bad thing. It's just a thing, right? That's just the way it is. Opportunity is present in our lives, and so regret is present. Why? Because oftentimes we miss out on opportunity, and then we regret it, right? Isn't that so frustrating when maybe a relationship comes your way, or an investment comes your way, a job opportunity comes your way, and you miss out on the opportunity, and then you're left with regret. And what's so sad about opportunity and regret is I found for me, I can't speak for you, but for me, oftentimes I talk myself out of opportunity and then I'm filled with regret, right? There's no one else that can make me really miss opportunity, but somehow I convince myself, no, Keith, you can't take advantage of this. You're not good enough for this, right? And you disqualify yourself. I had a moment like that happen a few months ago. One of my favorite bands is Switchfoot. If you know who Switchfoot is, right? I love Switchfoot. If you've ever wondered what's on my arm, it's lyrics to a Switchfoot song. They're one of my favorite bands. I love Switchfoot. And so a few months ago, I went and I was going to see them. They were playing right here in Huntington. And so me and my wife and some friends of ours, we got tickets to go see Switchfoot, all excited about it. We were so excited that we got to the concert like 4 or 5 hours early. Didn't really plan that well. So we do what anyone does when you get to a concert early. You look for a good Mexican restaurant, right? That's just the thing you do. I don't know. That's what we do, right? Let me just find some enchiladas, some burritos, because if I'm about to stand for 4 hours, I might as well fill my stomach with enchiladas, because that makes sense, right? So we're browsing the area, and we come into this nice restaurant, and we sit down, we're ordering our food, and just getting ready. The concert isn't going to start for like another couple hours. So I'm sitting there, and I got a nice window seat. I'm a fan of window seats, right? So I'm sitting there, and I'm looking out the window, and I'm like 80% sure that the lead singer of Switchfoot is walking down the road towards the restaurant. His name is John Foreman, right? So I'm like 80% sure that John Foreman is approaching, and I'm like, there's no, unless John likes to do what I do before a concert and get Mexican. Maybe he does. I don't know. But I'm just looking out the window and I'm like, this has got to be John Foreman, right? So I start telling him at the table, I'm like, guys, I'm pretty sure that's John Foreman. And as he's getting closer, I'm like, no, I'm not pretty sure. Like, that is John Foreman, and he is outside my window. Now, another fact, I also am near the door because we were sitting on kind of a, on the outside part of the restaurant. So there's a glass door and a window between me and meeting someone that I admire a lot. And I start looking at this opportunity, and instantly I start talking myself out of reasons why I can't get up from that meal and go say hi to John Foreman. First thing is, like, I don't want to be the crazy guy that he tweets about. Like, some guy just ran out of a Mexican restaurant to get my picture. So I was like, don't want to do that. Don't be that guy. But I'm like, there's no way he'd want to talk to me. I mean, who am I? And he's about to put on this really good performance. And I'm watching as he's like, now he's like next to me, but between glass. And I'm like, he's right there. He's right there. And he's gone. And I got to tell you, the concert was amazing, right? I took tons of video and pictures, posted on social media. Loved it. But you know, the one thing that stands out most about that night is the story I just shared with you. That there was an opportunity for me to meet someone that I really admire. And somehow I convinced myself out of it because I was embarrassed, because I didn't know if he'd want to talk to me, because I didn't feel like I was worth talking to him. All these different things came flooding in my heart. And I missed a huge opportunity that I could have just met someone, just said hi to the guy. And I didn't, because I disqualified myself. And I know that that happens not just with famous people that I admire, but in everyday scenarios. Come on, think about the relationship that you missed out on. Maybe you didn't think that she was going to say yes, so you never asked her out, right? You just there's no way she talked to me, right? Think about the job opportunity. You could have kind of invested a little bit in something and thought, there's no way I'm qualified for this. I mean, I don't have the history to get this job. I shouldn't even bother going on the interview. And we constantly disqualify ourselves out of opportunities. And we do it on this horizontal level. We do it with jobs. We do it with investments. We do it with relationships. We are naturally good at talking ourselves out of really good things, out of opportunities. And I believe that it doesn't just stay on a horizontal level. I truly believe that just as we're so good at talking ourselves out of opportunities with people, with jobs, and with investments, for some reason in our hearts, we can disqualify ourselves from God. Right? We can talk ourselves out of knowing God. We can give every reason to ourselves as to why God would never want to know me. I was reading this past week, and the author was saying that no one talks to you more than you talk to you. Right? No one talks to you more than you talk to you. And he was completely right, because you spend your entire day with you. Right? I'm not talking about the weird talking to yourself, like that kind of, just internally, like just you have conversation all day long. If you want to bring it out loud, do it. I don't know what it'll do for your friend circles, but just start talking to yourself. That's okay. But we talk to ourselves all day long, right? All day long. So what you think about you matters. And what you think about God matters. And if you have this lofty view of God and this disintegrating view of yourself, just, man, I'm nothing. I just don't have any value. I don't have any worth. Those two things are going to come together, and you are going to disqualify yourself from knowing God. You're going to convince yourself that there's no opportunity for me here. And I truly believe that there are two big reasons as to why we disqualify ourselves. And you, I think you would agree with this. Well, I can't know God because of what I've done, or I can't know God because of what I'm doing. Right? That's kind of the two big things. Come on, someone asks you to go to church, and instantly you're like, no, not me. You still want that building to stand up? I cannot go in there as I am right now. I cannot go in there. There's no way, right? Or someone invites you somewhere or gives you a Bible. I don't even want to touch that thing. You don't know what I've done. You don't know who I am. You don't know what I'm involved in right now. And what's happening in that moment is you are allowing your past and your present to impact a future that you could have with God. That's what's going on. You're saying, no, I can't know God. There's no opportunity for me. Sure, opportunity is powerful, but it's not more powerful than what I've done and what I'm doing. And you disqualify yourself from a moment with God. You disqualify yourself from even checking God out, from following him, from investigating him. You've instantly and immediately written yourself out of the story, out of the picture. And today, as I was getting ready for this Sunday, as I was praying for you for weeks now, you know what my prayer was? It's going to be weird. This is my prayer for you. My prayer isn't so much that you would believe in Jesus today. I'd love that. Don't get me wrong. But my prayer for you today is that you would know that you can believe in Jesus today.
Hallelujah.
I want you to understand that. I'm not going to stand up here for the next 21 minutes and 47 seconds and try and say, hey, here's why you need to believe in Jesus. Here's why you need to. Here's you have to. I want you to know today that you can. Because I think knowing that you can starts you on a path to discovery. Starts you on a path to just saying, you know what? If I can, then maybe I should find out who Jesus is. But if you won't even accept the fact that you can, man, deaf ears, right? I can't talk about a God that you don't think you could believe in. So what if today we journey together and just thought, just consider, this is a weird thought. We don't like to think this way. What if we thought we were wrong? We don't even like using that word. What if we actually gave consideration to maybe I'm wrong about being disqualified? What if it were true that no one is disqualified? What if that was true? Come on, would that truth not maybe change your life in some capacity? Would it maybe not start you on a path to saying, okay, well, if I'm not disqualified, then maybe I should check out who Jesus is. Maybe I should find him. Maybe I should just discover him. Maybe I could take a step. I think this is your first step, just to know that you're not disqualified. Now, here's the beauty. We in this room are not the first people to disqualify ourselves from God. Don't think if you're sitting there now and you're saying, no, listen, man, there's no way. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I'm doing. I'm disqualified. You're not the first person to think that. Yeah, I would venture to say that everyone at some point has most likely thought that when we've thought about God. Can I really know him? And we have a story in here about a man named Peter who followed Jesus, literally followed him, walked with him for 3 years of his life. And at the end of those 3 years, when Jesus was crucified on Good Friday, resurrected on Easter Sunday, and the weeks after that, you know what Peter believed? What maybe you're believing right now. I can't know Jesus anymore. Not because of what I've done. Not because of what I'm doing. I can't know him. And Peter has this amazing moment with Jesus on a beach where they share a meal together. And Jesus just breaks down that belief. He destroys it in Peter's heart. And so I'm going to ask you to be Peter for the next few moments together. Sure, maybe you believe you can't know God. Maybe you believe there's no opportunity because of what you've done, what you're doing. But let's look at what Peter went through. Let's see his story with Jesus and discover, hold on a second. If there was opportunity for Peter, maybe there's opportunity for me. If there was an opportunity for him, then maybe it's true for me. So we're going to read. I'm going to ask you if you have your Bible to go to John chapter 21. John chapter 21, you can turn on your Bible, you can turn open your Bible. We have Bibles in the baskets, and we're going to have the slides up here as well for you to follow along with. John 21, I want to read you this story. I want to read you this story. It's John 21, verses 9 to 13. It says this, when they got there, they being Peter, John, the other disciples, when they got there, being the beach, it's already a good scene, is it not? Come on, beach weather. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them. Now it's even better. Could you imagine you get to the beach and breakfast is waiting for you? The breakfast is weird though. Fish cooking over a charcoal fire and some bread. Not my favorite, but theirs. Verse 10, bring some of the fish you've just caught, Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to the shore. And there were 153 large fish, and yet the net hadn't torn. Now come and have some breakfast, Jesus said. None of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. And then Jesus served them the bread and the fish. This was the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he had been raised from the dead. Look at what's going on here. Look at what's happening in this moment, man. Come on, and realize where this is in the story of Jesus. This is post-crucifixion. This is post-burial. This is post-resurrection. And Jesus is here on the beach eating breakfast. Hallelujah for breakfast, right? Come on. Jesus is serving up some breakfast to his disciples. And there is an amazing opportunity here for a man named Peter. Amen. See, Peter is singled out in this moment at the beach. Why? Because of what led up to this moment for Peter. See, if we don't know the backstory, if we don't know just the moment before, literally the morning before what Peter was up to, or the days leading up to this moment, we just read this and we're like, all right, cool. I mean, Peter's there. It makes sense. He's been throughout the whole story of Jesus. And John's there. He's writing about this story, which I think is cool. John's writing about this breakfast that he had with Jesus. But you need to know what Peter did and what Peter was doing, if you want your mind blown, if you want to start believing what Peter believed that morning, saying, there's no way I should be at this breakfast. There is absolutely no way. That's what's going through Peter's mind because of what he did, because what he was doing. See, your past, you know this, and I know this. Our past has great potential to ruin us, does it not? Come on. Imagine if somehow we had a device that could get all of your past onto this screen. Come on, this building will be empty. I'd be the first one out the door. I'd be like, don't start with me, please. Right? There are things in our past that we'd rather not have on display. Failures, moments of weakness. That's why around campaign season, it's who can dig up the most dirt on the other person, as far back as we could possibly go. Because we all know this truth, the past has the ability to ruin our present and to ruin our future. Right? For a while, it was only 2 months, so it wasn't a long while. But for 2 months in my senior year, I worked at TJ Maxx. Right? Now, if you work at TJ Maxx, I'm so sorry that you have to work there. Maybe you like it, and that's cool. That's cool. That wasn't my thing. Right? I took the job mainly because I needed money for gifts for people. I was a senior in high school. There were some people I loved, family members, my girlfriend. I had to get money to get a gift for her, get a gift for other people. So like, where can I work? Worked at TJ Maxx. And I hated every single day of it. It was frustrating. Trying to get the clothing on the right hangers and put them in the right sections. And man, it was just frustrating. And it lasted 2 months. Like once I accumulated enough money for Christmas, I was out of there. And then I realized that's not a really good strategy because you need money beyond Christmas now. Like there's a car and there's gas that you need. So I took another job. And you know what I didn't do when I went on the next job interview when I told them about my job history? I didn't even bring up TJ Maxx. I didn't even, because I didn't want them actually calling that store to find out like, yeah, this guy lasted 2 months. Like, because I knew that that would potentially harm my chances of a present and a future there. And I'm sure you could think of moments like that. Like, man, can we just ignore that? Can we just pretend that didn't happen? Because that might disqualify me from a great opportunity if he finds out. If she knows, she's not going to say yes. And so we look at moments in our past and we say, don't bring that out. Don't bring that out. And even when it comes to God, that's silly of us, but we think, if God really knows, he's not going to want me. God does know. That's the beautiful thing. God knows about your past. He knows what you've done. And yet, he says, there's opportunity for you. And do you know that Jesus knew exactly what Peter did that day? And he didn't ignore him knowing it? He didn't ignore the fact that he knew what Peter had done. The one thing Peter would have loved to keep in the dark, loved to keep secret, Jesus actually brings it right to the front, right to the center stage of this breakfast. And if we're careful, we see it. If we read fast, we don't see it. And as I was exploring this text, there's something really unique and beautiful that pops out of this that shows me, oh, Jesus, you knew exactly what Peter did, and you weren't afraid to point it out. So we read it in verse 9. It says, when they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them, fish cooking over a charcoal fire, and some bread. Now, if we're not careful, we're like, okay, so what? Right? Fish cooking over a charcoal fire, right? Got my bag of charcoal. Why charcoal? Why was John so careful to write that the fire that day was charcoal? You want to know why? There are only two moments in the New Testament, the second half of the Bible, where a charcoal fire is referenced. There are only two. There's other times where fire is referenced, other types of fire, wood-burning fire, things like that. But there's only two moments in the New Testament where a charcoal fire is referenced. And what's really interesting is they both involve Peter and Jesus. And one of them we're reading about right now. The moment where Jesus is trying to show Peter, you still have an opportunity with me around this charcoal fire. But Peter knew there was another fire. There was a fire that Peter found himself about a few days ago, not too long ago. The fire happened to be a charcoal fire. And it was at that fire that Peter let Jesus down. It was at that fire where Peter would not want those moments coming back up at any time ever again. You see, moments before this moment on the beach, Jesus is about to be crucified. We might call this Thursday night from this past week. He's arrested. He's being tried to see if he's a criminal deserving death. And Peter and John, the one who's writing about this charcoal fire here, and Peter, the one who's there, they follow Jesus into the court. Now, Peter can't really advance all the way into the courtroom, so Peter stays out in the courtyard and warms himself around a charcoal fire. But what happens at this charcoal fire is Peter denies ever knowing Jesus. He knew him for 3 years. He followed the guy around. He believed in him. He wanted to have a relationship with him. He fully invested in the opportunity that was present. And yet at this fire, Peter denies ever knowing Jesus 3 times. 3 times people come up to him. Don't you know Jesus? No. I don't know him. Wait a second. I'm pretty sure I've seen you with Jesus. Jesus who? Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus son of Joseph. You got to be more specific. I don't know any of those, right? Right? They didn't have last names, so that's how they did it, right? No, I don't know him. Yeah, you were with him, weren't you? He gets so angry. Starts just going off on his mouth. I don't know Jesus. Around that charcoal fire, that's what happened. And now, on the beach, Jesus is preparing a fire, getting ready to make breakfast. And I believe, this is just me believing, he's really intentional in this moment, right? He gathers charcoal to start a fire. John is intentional to write down this was the kind of fire it was. And I got to think as Peter is getting closer and closer to that fire, he is remembering what that fire meant days before. He's remembering that when he was last around a charcoal fire and John was present and Jesus was present and he was there, he totally blew it. And so we got to say, what is Jesus doing in this moment? What is he throwing it up in his face? Peter, remember the charcoal? What, you think you could just come eat some fish and bread with me and it's all good? You think that's what Jesus is doing? I don't think so. I think Jesus is looking at Peter and he's inviting him to come to that fire. And he's saying, Peter, I know what happened last time we were around a fire. I know what you think right now because of what you've done. There's no opportunity for you. And I'm saying, come. I'm saying, yes, I know. And yes, you can come. Yes, I know. And no, you are not disqualified. It doesn't matter what you've done, Peter. I don't care about that. There's room for you here at this fire.
Amen.
Man, opportunity is powerful.
Amen.
And I got to think in that moment, Peter just begins to crumble a little bit. So what I did doesn't matter that much. There's still opportunity for me. Well, what about what I'm doing now? Because Peter, just moments before this, actually while he's being invited to come to Jesus, he's still screwing up. You want to know why? Because Peter, before he was called to follow Jesus, he had a trade. He was a fisherman. That was his job. But I think like many of us, I'll speak for me, we lose ourselves to our jobs sometimes. It becomes our identity, right? Come on, it's why I intentionally don't introduce myself as Pastor Keith, because I don't want my identity to be wrapped up in what I do. Right? But we tend to lean that way. Well, this is who I am and this is what I do. It's kind of the beginning casual conversation. What's your name? Oh, what do you do? But that what do we do tends to be who we are, not just what we do. It's our identity. And Peter found himself there, and Jesus found him there years before this moment. And Jesus says, Peter, come follow me. Let me give you a new identity. Let me make you someone new. And for 3 years, Peter begins following Jesus, and his identity starts to change, and who he is starts to change as he's following him. And he's becoming someone new. But after the charcoal fire, Peter concluded, there's no more opportunity. I blew it. My identity can't be different anymore. I denied him 3 times. I let him down. He wouldn't want me. And you know what Peter does? He goes back to that old identity. He goes right back. See, in John 21, verse 3, the night before this breakfast, look at what Peter says to the other disciples. I'm going fishing. We'll come too, they all said. So they went out in the boat, but they caught nothing all night. What's Peter saying? Guys, there's no more opportunity for us here. Come on, I mean, Jesus, he died. And what's weird is they've seen him 2 times before this moment. They've already seen him. This is not like the first appearance of Jesus and the disciples on the beach. That's why they're not like blown away. If you want the blown away text, you got to read a little bit before this moment when they are like, oh my goodness, you're alive. So they know he's alive. They know he's resurrected. They know he's powerful. It's not that they're doubting Jesus and his power in this moment. Peter is disqualifying himself. Peter's saying, that's great. He came back to life. He showed up. He showed off. But it doesn't matter for me. I'm going fishing. And they get in their boat and they get their net. I got props today, man. Keep you laughing, keep you awake. They get in their boat and they grab their net. Peter says, I'm going fishing. And the text tells us they caught nothing all night. And they knew what they were doing. I mean, they weren't away from the job for so long that they forgot how to fish at night. I think it was another reminder. You want to go back there because you think you can't come over here, but you can. You're not disqualified. And I love that Jesus points out that he knows what Peter was up to that night. Because what does he say? Bring some of the fish you've just caught. Now, what happened there? Because I thought they caught nothing. There was this little moment that took place where Jesus shows up and enables them to bring in those 153 fish, this miracle. But I want to focus in on those two words, just caught. Just caught. Peter, I know what you think right now. I know what you're up to just this moment. That you think this is all you have left now. You think your opportunity at knowing me is gone because of what you did at that fire. And so you've said, you know what? This is what I'm going to do now. I'm just going back to what I know. The only thing that I have left, this is where I'll live. And Jesus says, no, come to this fire. I know what you did. Bring the fish you just caught. I know what you're doing. There's opportunity for you here. You can still know me. You are not disqualified. And Peter has this life-transforming moment to which we need to ask, why and how? Why could Jesus do that in Peter's life? How could he do that? Despite knowing what he did, despite knowing what he was up to, why was Jesus able to still say, come? Why is Jesus still able to give Peter opportunity? And can that be true for me? And the answer is yes. Amen. And the reason why is because what happened at the last breakfast reminds us of what happened at the last supper. Another moment where Jesus did a lot of the same things that he did that morning. You see, the reason why Peter could know God, despite what Peter did and what he was doing, is because of this truth. Knowing God is based on Jesus, not you. Knowing God is based on him, what he did, what he's doing, not you, what you did and what you're doing. You see, who that day started the fire? Amen. Right? Who that day, that Billy Joel just instantly comes into my head, right? Is that the guy? We didn't start the fire? Am I got the right guy? All right, good. Just making sure. I don't want to date myself. I'm a child of the 80s, 89, right? I was supposed to, thank you, Ralph. Thank you for laughing at my jokes. Goodness. Right? So who started the fire that day? Jesus did. Who served them fish that day? Jesus did. Who invited them to come? Jesus did. That entire moment of Peter finding opportunity to know God was based on Jesus, not on Peter. And it reminds us of the same things that Jesus was doing at the Last Supper. See, the night before Jesus was crucified, the very same night that Peter would get around a charcoal fire and deny Jesus, Jesus is there in this room and he's washing Peter's feet and he's serving Peter and he's breaking bread with Peter and he's drinking wine with Peter and he's declaring the new covenant with Peter. And Jesus is doing all of these things. And then Peter does what he does and thinks, man, I guess I blew it. Guess there's no more opportunity for me and Jesus. Maybe it was really cool at dinner. I'm not going to share a meal with him again. And Jesus says, no, you're wrong. No one is disqualified. Amen. No one, Peter, not you. You're wrong. I'm sorry, Peter. You can still come and know me. There's still opportunity for you here. Amen. And they have this amazing moment on the beach. Amen. To know God. Hallelujah. What a thought. What a life-transforming thought that you, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done or doing, there's opportunity. You're not disqualified. Amen. See, what else out there right now in this world is saying, just because you've done something, or just because you're doing something, there's still opportunity? What else doesn't take into account your past or present when deciding a future? Nothing. Everything else looks at that. Everything. Relationships you'll start, they want to know, what's your relationship history? Go on job interviews, they want to know, where's your resume? I mean, even purchases, right? Credit karma. What have you bought? How much debt do you have? Okay, based on that, there's no opportunity for you here. Sorry, you're denied. And yet God looks at humanity when realistically, guys, he has every right to deny every single one of us because of what we've done and what we do. And he says, nope, opportunity. opportunity for you, opportunity for her, opportunity for every person to know me, because it's based on Jesus, not you. And if you would grab that truth today, if you would just believe that you can believe in Jesus, I believe that that's going to start you on a path. I believe that that's a first step. Again, it's not, I'm not saying believe in him today. I love that, but I'm not starting there. I'm saying maybe you need to start at the place where you say, hold on, I can believe in Jesus. You mean that there's opportunity for me to know him? That I'm not disqualified? See, something amazing happened to Peter after this day, after this moment. His life, I mean, it is an amazing story. And so if you want to hear his story, I'm inviting you to come back next week. Because we're going to pick up right here, the next verse, and find out what changes, right? Because maybe you're skeptical and say, okay, hold on. This just seems too weird, too easy. You're trying to sell me something here. Come on, what's it going to look like if I follow Jesus? Am I going to have to start coming to church? Am I going to have to start praying and reading and giving money away and doing all this stuff? I'm not going to tell you any of that. Only thing I'm going to say is, let's look at what happened to Peter. Amen. I think it's very different than a lot of those things that you think. God's not out to get something from you. He's to give something for you. Amen. He has something for you. Amen. And you look at the life of Peter, you see God was making deposits into Peter's life. Hallelujah. And he was changing him.
Amen.
And so you got to come back to hear about how Peter was brand new. And if not, you got to grab a Bible with you and read the rest of the story, because it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing what God does to Peter's life. And what God does to Peter, God is ready to do for you. He is. You're not disqualified. Every single person in this room has opportunity to know God. How amazing. How amazing. Amen. And so I want you to remember that today.
Amen.
And so what we have for you as you leave here is we've got a gift for every single one of you. And it's a card that has the text from this morning on it. So you can, I know you're going to leave and you're going to read John 21. It's right on a little postcard. You can read that text together. And there's also a breakfast bar in there. I was going to give you fish and bread, but that's weird. So no sardines, no Italian bread, none of that. It's all right. None of that. But there are Belveeta breakfast cookies, and good Lord, they are amazing. They are my favorite. So I got you my favorite cookies in there, and Starbucks instant coffee and some tea for those of you that are tea drinkers. Now, my only advice is don't mix coffee and tea. That's weird. Okay, so pick one or the other. Don't get too excited about this and just start putting everything into a cup. But the whole point is I want you to take something with you that reminds you. As you look at that card, I want you to remember you're not disqualified. You can know who Jesus is. You can have a relationship with God. Take that card home with you and start some journey. Just start there this week. Just say, okay, I can know him. What does that mean? What's next? Might mean coming back, bringing a Bible home, maybe listening to a song. I don't know. But know that you can know God today. And that's amazing. Let me pray. Would you guys stand with me? Good Lord, we thank you that every single one of us have opportunity to know you. I thank you that your son Jesus was so intentional that day with the charcoal. I thank you that he looked at Peter and said, hey, the fish you just caught, come. As you are, come to me. And that same invitation is for every person here and every person in this world. There is not one who is disqualified from knowing you. There is not one that is too good that they don't need you, one that is too bad that they can't have you. All of us can know you. And I thank you for that truth. I pray that that truth would be sealed on our hearts, that as we take these gifts, as we go home, as we celebrate today the resurrected King, that we would know we have opportunity to know your son. And that knowing would move us to a next step. I pray that we come back next week. I pray that we read that card this week, that we would live in this truth that we can know you because of Jesus, what he did and what he is doing. Father, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.